listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
Once again to the Well-Fed Guide to Life, brought to you in part by HopChart.com for all of your beer cataloging needs.
Needs and wants make sense.
I know.
Ifs and buts just don't work.
I got two sentences in before you interrupted me, so that's pretty much a record.
Quit sucking.
I don't suck.
Yeah.
I'm pretty awesome at it.
Yeah.
We are at Blackbird in South Minneapolis.
The reopened
Blackbird in South Minneapolis. Blackbird is one of the places that burnt down approximately about a year and a half ago.
God, has it been that long?
I think it might have been that long already. Burnt down about a year and a half ago. Not sure the cause of the fire. Don't remember the cause of the fire. This is actually more of the issue. That being said, it is open up about 2 months ago or so. 2 or 3 months ago. Might have been even longer than that.
Yeah, I would say that. 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah. And it's gotten glowing reviews, so hence we are here. So.
That's never stopped us before.
No, it's never stopped us. Speaking of places that have burnt down and are opening.
That's right. I was gonna ask if we were gonna mention that.
Well, the Nook, the much harrowed and often besmirched.
Harrowed?
Did I say that wrong?
I don't know what you were trying to say, so I don't know if you said it wrong.
I made up a word.
I think you might have.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay.
The much besmirched.
You're one of the very few people to besmirch it, so it's not really
you
much
besmirch
besmirched.
It after the fact.
That's because I am weak of stomach.
Exactly.
And I had a lot of filth. glorious filth.
Anyway, they're reopening this week.
They are.
And so that's kind of exciting, even though we didn't have what we would term as in completion, a great dining experience.
No, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I liked my burger. It didn't like me nearly as much as I liked it.
No.
And therefore, I had to mark it down.
Yeah, no, if you in your gastrointestinal system have an argument,
exactly,
you take it to the Nook to punish it.
It's on, bitch.
Exactly.
This is happening.
And you're going to pay.
Exactly. This is going down.
Exactly. It was very good. I enjoyed my burger a lot. I actually,
I liked my burger.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I've had better burgers.
Yeah.
It's not, and it isn't like the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
Like people like James Norton have made it out to be. Yes,
I don't think he's ever called it the second coming of Christ.
He might as well have.
Uh-huh.
Might as well. Either way, we're happy for them that they're reopening.
Yeah, excellent.
Because we're part of the food community around here.
Are we?
I think so. The food media. Sort of.
Are we like the Gene Shalit of food media?
We don't rhyme nearly as much as he does.
That's true.
Although, I think we should try.
No. No, I don't want to.
We are as ugly as he is. How about that?
He wasn't a rhymer. He was a punter.
That's true.
That was his thing. He would find ways to work.
You know, I think I mixed up Nipsey Russell with Gene Shalit.
Yes, because it was so similar. I can see the Venn diagram between Nipsey Russell and fucking Gene Shalit.
Puns and rhymes.
Yes, yes. They both were English. They both spoke English, so beyond that, I don't really see them. No, Gene Shalit would work the title into whatever the big money sentence was, which is harder to do. With restaurants. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah. You know, it'd be impossible.
Like Blackbird. How the hell would you get that into a Blackbird? How would you get that into a sentence?
I can't. I honestly can't. I'm not good with the words. We've established this.
That
which is why I'm co-hosting a Netcast.
Yeah.
So it makes complete sense that I would be co-hosting something like this where I have to use the words of the English language.
I just looked up at the wine list here. They have a section called Added Kick, which is mostly your sparkling stuff.
Yep.
They have something called a Mango Mimosa, which I think if you drink it, turns you into a 45-year-old woman.
You're probably right. But they also have the...
Sounds delicious, but...
They have a sparkling pink Moscato, which is a sparkling white wine, as opposed to a Champagne.
Yes.
And it actually comes in a can and a straw.
Better be a damn good can for $18.
It's a big can.
Yeah, $375. Yeah, that's sizable.
Yeah.
How much is... What is my Strongbow at? It's $500.
Yeah.
So... That's actually not that big a can.
It's more a big. It's a normal size can.
So $18 for a 12-ounce can.
If you think about it. Oh my God.
They have nachos for you.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So, like we said, we're already drinking.
We are.
I got a furthermore, and I don't remember the name. So tough shit. Furthermore, not stock.
Not stock, that's right.
And
yeah.
It is very, very good.
Okay.
Hence by the fact that I've already pounded down 3/4.
Yeah, now the little listing mentioned peppercorns.
It's just a subtle hint at the very end.
Okay.
It's not spicy, but it's very, very good. It's got a very smooth aftertaste, and it's not... I've had a lot of issues lately with very, very burpy beer, very hoppy, burpy beer.
Yeah.
This is hoppy, but it's not like I'm having to belch to get, you know, any air into my body.
Yep.
And you're drinking a Strongbow.
I am going the Strongbow. I'm going cider.
Yep.
Don't know why. Just feeling like a cidery mood. Now, we got our first dish, our appetizer, which is a lamb nacho, which is a fantastic concept.
It might be a marriage made in heaven.
Yeah,
honestly.
But other than that, I mean, from what I can tell, it's very basic. You've got a cheddar cheese. You've got various kinds of looks like a tomato. You got a jalapeno pepper. You got some sour cream. Got some what is probably cilantro on top here with very good chips. I will give them credit on the chips.
Mm-hmm.
Here is my problem with this thing.
Not enough guacamole.
I didn't even see there was guacamole, so, you know, bonus to them.
Yeah.
So, this is, the nachos are on a small serving plate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're vertically tall.
Yeah.
Which is a bit redundant, but fuck it. I'm of the opinion that nachos, they need surface area. Because they involve, especially when they're so artfully constructed like this, because I want to be able to get as much different things onto a chip as possible.
Because we're fans of stuff.
Yes, and to do that, it involves some sort of secondary plate.
Agreed.
There's a staging area.
I get what you're saying.
And I hate that. I hate when nacho places do that, because it adds more work to what is essentially lazy food.
You're looking for a high-class version of Nachos Del Grande, is basically what you're getting at.
A high-class version of Nachos Del Grande is a redundancy in and of itself.
But I tell you what, these are pretty damn good nachos. This might be the first time in ever we've actually ordered nachos.
I can't think of any, no.
If you think about it, when you think of nachos, you know, you think of... I mean, my brain goes, unfortunately, to like Applebee's and TGI Fridays and places like that. Not to places like this, but when you add the
so this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Fucking mess.
I love the lamb in it, though. And there's just this little tiny piece of decadence in there.
I agree. The tomato is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had the jalapeno yet, but I got a nice big chunk on this current one. The guac is very good.
Yeah.
Sour cream is tasty. Very good. If they just put it on a plate about twice the size, that would be, I would put this at almost flawless.
It would be a $24 appetizer at that point, though.
You don't have to, no, I'm just saying.
Just keep the same amount.
You can have the same amount of stuff, just give me more room to work with.
You want surface area.
I do.
You don't necessarily need volume, you just need surface area.
Exactly. Now what are these?
Black olives.
Aha. Well, those I will be avoiding. Because black olives taste like foot.
What?
Black olives taste like foot. And if you think otherwise, you're deluding yourself.
A, why do you know what foot tastes like? And B, you couldn't be more wrong.
Why do you think the Greek civilization fell?
The
wasn't because of Romans, it was black olives.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, it's not. I've said much dumber things.
Go to a Mexican restaurant, that's pretty damn good clock.
Yeah, that is, I'm definitely, a fan.
Oh, yeah.
So, speaking of Mexican, or Latin American food, I made my first ropa vieja this week.
Really?
Yeah. It was a slow cooker recipe.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's been shitty weather, very cold and windy, so I'm like, that's slow cooker time.
The slow cooker season continues.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't know, ropa vieja is it's a South American beef stew, basically. And it's ropa vieja means old clothes. Mm-hmm. It's basically shredded beef.
Now I've had it on the show.
As have I.
At Victor's.
Yes. It's very, very, very good. You know, it's the kind of the twist with it is that, you know, putting it, you know, slightly different than other beef stews is that it uses a vinegar base.
Okay.
This particular recipe used a cup and a half of chicken broth and a half a cup of apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
So it adds a little bit of a sourness and a vinegary taste to it, which totally works because they also, again, this particular recipe has shredded apple in it, which I've never taken an apple to a box grater before.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, because there is an inherent amount of sweetness to it.
Yes.
Now, when I had it at Victor's, it had raisins in it.
Yes.
So the apple doesn't surprise me at all.
No. Mine wasn't really a ropa vieja because we used basically beef cubes, like stew meat.
Sure.
Which don't shred well.
Right.
So it was more whatever is Spanish for old boxes, old cubes.
Sure.
But the recipe wanted 3 pounds of flank steak.
Oh, that's a little pricey.
So it's like, I really don't want a $20 beef stew.
Yeah.
Salami sandwich with fries and the gnocchi.
Excellent. Thank
and
you.
And I'll come back and pay that price.
Right, very good. Steal some. Oh, wait, no, there's one last chip.
Rogue chip.
So just because I didn't feel like, you know, dropping, like I said, like $20 on beef. For what is essentially beef stew.
Right.
Alright. I will give them the credit, these the jalapenos in this, very mild.
Yeah. They've been seeded.
Yeah, that's true.
And that takes all that capsaicin away.
That it does. So we got two very different meals.
But I think that's kind of indicative of Blackbird as a whole, their menu as a whole. is that it, there's not two things on the menu that are exactly the same, or even close to being alike, for that matter. That looks hotter than hell.
It's kind of warm, yeah.
Yeah. I got a corned beef and chopped liver sandwich that comes with a house-cut fry. The fries are very good, and I've got to eat down the fries.
Sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
All right, they're sweet potatoes.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Extremely tasty, but I got to eat myself down to the sandwich because it's underneath there.
You got to unearth it.
I'll rip it through. Now, what did you get?
I got their gnocchi. And this is potato gnocchi with Benton's bacon, which I don't really know what that is, but it's bacon, so why not? Peas, cremini mushrooms, and cream. I was kind of expecting more of a carbonara with the peas and the bacon and the cream.
I gotcha.
It's not. It's not that. It's a little different. I mean, the cream has kind of, you know, with a carbonara, it's mostly like an Alfredo sauce, so it kind of has its own flavor that complements other stuff. What this is the cream. It has taken the flavors of the mushrooms and the bacon and the gnocchi and kind of turns back on itself, so it's like it's enhancing all of the other flavors because it's just making all of them just brighter and
harmonious.
That would work. Now, I'm not exactly sure where it's coming from. It might be my guess is the mushrooms. This is a lot smokier than I expected it to be.
Really?
Yeah. Like I don't want to say it's burnt, but like it's not that. But it's one of those where it's like it's approaching that flavor.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's very good though. The bacon's nice and nice and tender. The gnocchi is a really good texture.
Okay.
Which, you know, I'm a big fan of like the buttonis, like the refrigerated pasta,
sure,
the filled pasta, the tortellini, stuff like that.
Yeah.
In my experience, frozen and refrigerated gnocchi is always terrible. But gnocchi is also a bitch to make at home, like from scratch. So I don't have it that much. So I don't get a lot of opportunities to have it. So. Good peas. I'm always a fan of peas. You look like you're having some sort of crisis, some sort of existential crisis.
No, not at all. I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
Pastrami sandwich, chopped liver, and some melted Swiss. The pastrami is nice and peppery.
It's actually a Gruyere, a Swiss.
That would explain why it's a bit meltier.
Yeah.
Than what it is. The pastrami is nice and peppery, but that chopped liver in there is like just like silky smooth. It's really good. They didn't over toast the bread, which is kind of what I was afraid of when I saw it.
Yeah, it's a dark rye.
Yeah. And I pretty much confined myself to the fact that I was going to cut the roof of my mouth open like eating a bowl of Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
But it's completely the opposite. It's toasted, but it's forgiving.
Sounds sexy.
Well, I don't know how else to explain it. And sorry for belching on your...
I didn't even notice.
But it's mighty tasty.
Have you had the mustard yet?
I have.
Okay.
And it's a good compliment, but it doesn't need it. Because there's so much other flavor going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep using it because it is good flavor. And it is a good mustard. I'd be surprised if it wasn't homemade. Because it doesn't have a heavy vinegar taste like you would see in something that's bottled.
Okay.
So you really get a more mustardy flavor.
Yep.
Not nearly as sour.
Mm. I'm gonna steal one of your fries.
Bobby.
Not this one though. That was a wussy fry.
Not bad.
Not bad. It's a little undersalted, but that's normally okay.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want them over salt because you can't go back from that. This you can salt to taste.
Right.
And since I'm just having one, it doesn't really make much sense to do that.
So, we might as well tackle this.
Do we want to?
I think we have to tackle it, only because we'd pretty much be the only media outlet that has since, including ESPN.
Yeah, I found that kind of funny.
So they
we'll go back to the ESPN thing, because I actually have a story in one of my rare instances of watching ESPN.
So, Osama bin Laden was killed yesterday.
As we record this yesterday.
As we record this, it would have been Sunday night the nation found out about it. And it's been a fairly unique outcry, both as you see in the media and... I don't know, I found it to be a fairly interesting discussion topic at work.
Okay.
And we basically have to broach it simply from the aspect of everyone else's, so we might as well, you know, devote a little bit of time to it.
Yeah.
Because it is a pivotal moment.
It is. You know, there's a lot of people talking about, you know, where they were when they found out.
Right. It's not nearly that important.
To some people, it seems to be. You know, reading the descriptions and the various message boards and websites that I am on, there was this kind of sense of... It was more the, this is what I was doing on September 11th, this is what I was doing when I found out about this.
Okay, I can see that comparison.
And a lot of it was just the, here's how much my life has changed in this 10 years.
Yeah.
And I think for me, from that perspective, as a people watcher,
right.
That is a really interesting thing in that, it's rare for someone to have two somewhat related events happen in their lifetime where they connect to each other. You know, 9/11, Osama bin Laden died. The closest I can think of is something, you know, along the lines, although in the completely opposite direction, something maybe, you know, on the path of man walks on the moon to Challenger explosion.
Right.
You know, where they're somewhat related. There's obviously in the different direction, you went from bad to good. You know, you went from good to bad, in this case, bad to good.
I get the comparison, though.
But, you know, so often people, when they talk about, like, the important things that happen in their life, it's normally, like, one event. Like, they remember where they were when, you know, Kennedy was shot, or, you know...
Pearl Harbor,
you know, something like that. But we, you know, our generation and you know, the people younger than us, they've got two, like, relatively close to each other.
Right.
You know, it's that full circle-ness that I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, an interesting take on this is how teachers are handling it. You know, especially when you have kids that weren't born.
Mm-hmm.
When this happened, you know, they're 10 years old at this point.
Yeah.
You know, they've had a few years of school. They're cognizant of the world around them, at least on a 10,000 foot view. But getting them to understand the relative significance of it,
yeah.
Yeah, is interesting.
I guess for me, like, leaving politics aside, you know, I think I kind of got in trouble a little bit on Facebook today.
Imagine that.
I know.
Who'd you piss off?
Well,
you started a holy war, didn't you?
No. What I was saying, like, the point I was making...
It was a fatwa.
Probably. But if, you know,
there wasn't before.
Yeah, exactly. The point I was making was, you know, I have, you know, especially in the last few years, I have taken the George Carlin approach to mass culture.
Okay.
In that I'm much more interested in looking at it from the outside than really being a part of it.
Okay.
And so I like watching how people react to things. Which, going back to the ESPN thing, like one of the things I love doing is anytime there's a big news story, like international news story,
mm-hmm.
and you follow the more niche news outlets, you know, sports,
food,
video games, anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They always try to find a way to kind of spin it so that it's relevant.
Right.
You know, I'm a big, you know, obviously I'm one of the hosts of yet another gaming show, so I'm a bit into video games. The whole Japan quake, there was a lot of connections drawn, like, okay, how does this influence games? You know, what. Now, I was walking through the break room at work today, and ESPN's on in the break room.
Right.
Pretty much in the break room, the TV is either ESPN or Fox News, like 90% of the day.
Interchangeable.
Yeah. Well, some days, yeah. But as I was walking by, they were doing, and I was just kind of semi-paying attention, they were saying, you know, coming up, we'll have the reactions of our Sunday night baseball team when they heard the news, because, you know, they did the big press conference announcement kind of thing Sunday night. And I'm like, really, people? Like, this is what you can do.
Right.
But then when they explained it, it was they're replaying the, because, you know, baseball games were going on last night, so they were replaying the announcers' reactions to the news,
right,
like as they were, you know, calling the game. And that to me is fascinating. I love that shit.
Yeah.
I love, you know.
Well, it's like when you go back to the old Monday Night Football games. The old Monday Night Football games. The old excerpts of Howard Cosell announcing that John Lennon had been killed on mm-hmm. the game.
Going back to 9/11. Every once in a while, I'll go back. I shouldn't say it for once in a while. That makes me sound like a ghoul. But when I have an opportunity, or when it brings up, I like watching the footage of like the Today Show.
Yeah.
As it was happening.
Right.
Because, you know, and this is why I've been called I've been called a ghoul several times about, you know, wanting Brett Favre to die on the field. Okay. And it's not because I wish him ill. It's because I want to hear how the people on TV react.
The spin doctors.
Well, no, not even the spin doctors. Just I like hearing real, like, unscripted reactions to shit.
Okay.
You know, to really bizarre crap. You know, I love that. I love this. Taking it to movies.
Okay.
Remember the movie Signs?
I remember it. I never saw it.
You never saw it.
M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
And I have this weird fascination with news footage.
Okay.
With news footage talking and describing live crazy shit. Okay. And there's this, the best shot, the best single moment in Signs, which by and large was a crap movie. Okay. And I am by and large a defender of M. Night. I don't think he's nearly as bad as people make him out to be. M. Night has two big negatives against him. One was The Happening, which was by all accounts utterly hideous. And
Lady in the Water.
I didn't mind Lady in the Water.
Wow.
The thing that bugged me about Lady in the Water was thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's all right. The thing that bugged me about Lady in the Water was you could see, and maybe this is just me and my background, but you could see the film student in it. Like, it was totally like, okay, we're incorporating these theories and this. It was very ham-handed. It wasn't a good movie.
No.
I'm not going to say that,
okay.
But it wasn't nearly as bad as people thought it was. But the problem with M. Night is that he thinks he's much better than he is. And you know, that is one thing I will always give Michael Bay credit for. He knows he's a shitty movie maker, but he doesn't care. He knows it, but he's just like, yeah, this is the kind of movie I want to make.
Exactly.
And, you know, be done, you know, and fine.
Gonna make $200 million.
In the first weekend.
I'm gonna kick you in the nuts, I'm gonna call it a day.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but anyway, going back to science, there's this great shot where, you know, the aliens are starting to land, and there's this kind of tension going on, and there's a scene where it's like a Brazilian or somewhere in South America. It's like news footage of somebody's home video of one of the aliens like walking down an alley or something. You just see it for the person. That's like the most effective shot in the whole movie. Okay. I loved Cloverfield for the exact same reason. It was that kind of, you know, thing. So I love that shit. So I love listening to people react to bad things or just unexpected things. But particularly when it's outside of what they want to talk about. You know, you listen to like a Dick Vitale where he'll lose his damn mind. Like big game upsets, I don't care. But you know, I like hearing the people reactions like, holy shit, Mike Tyson just bit his ear.
Right.
Like people shit that no one's expecting. I like hearing those reactions. So I actually sat and watched the ESPN coverage of the announcement of the Osama bin Laden stuff.
It was really fascinating. I mean, I was literally going to bed and flipping through the channels. It was like 10 o'clock. I was exhausted. I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to bed. I really can't stay up any longer. And I'll think, oh, I'll just check the news. Just see what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. I'm like, well, what the hell's going on? Like, because at that point, like, they hadn't really announced anything, but they said a special announcement was coming.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's awfully late, which means A, we invaded somebody, or B, somebody invaded us. So it was fascinating to watch it unfold. Then again, over the next like 3 hours that I ended up watching, not only, you know, from the watching the correspondent outside of the White House from CNN, you know, just start talking at a very monotone level, to the fact that by the end of it, by the time I shut it off, he was shouting because he couldn't hear himself think because there were so many people outside the White House.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of funny to watch.
The reason why I got myself in a little bit of trouble was I made the comment that I would love to cross-reference, and if you follow me on Facebook, or I think I might have done this on Twitter too, I would love to cross-reference the people that are partying and crowing about, you know, the fact that we killed Osama bin Laden. I would love to see how many of those people called terrorists or even in the more extreme cases, just, you know, Muslim and Arab culture, uncivilized. Because to me,
we're doing the same thing.
Exactly. It's like, you know,
I agree.
So somebody on FARC today made this comment where they took a photo they took this photo of all of these people out in front of the White House last night, having a good party. And they compared it to a photo taken, I presume, of Israel, or might have been, you know, somewhere in the Middle East. I couldn't tell you for sure. But of a bunch of people shooting guns in the air, and all of these posters about, you know, crowing about, you know, the towers had fallen and death to America, all that shit. It's like, how is this different? And you know, part of me is the,
we're not showing at this point that we're better than anybody.
Exactly.
We're not showing
out. You know, and that has been my biggest problem in a lot of this.
Right.
Has been, you know, at what point, you know, there is value in the moral high ground.
Agreed.
Doesn't make you feel better.
No.
But you know what? It's not always about making you feel better.
I unfortunately think, yes, Sam, thank you. I think it has a lot to do with, it was very, yesterday was very media driven.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people that were going down there to get themselves on TV.
Yeah, I know. I think there's some that.
I didn't want to hear from the college student from Georgetown or American University or whatever that walked the few blocks down this down Pennsylvania Avenue.
It was a party.
So it's a party.
Would you like another beer?
I'm good, thank you.
And were you too interested in a dessert this evening?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think we're good right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good.
That was very good.
All right. I don't know how this happened, but I've got something stuck. If I can get a little disgusting for a second, I've got something stuck in my teeth.
Yeah.
That I don't know
how it got there.
It has somehow combined all of the flavors into a gnocchi entree nugget. It's just like this combined. I'm kind of enjoying it, if I must be completely honest.
Thank you.
Hey, I prefaced it by saying I'm going to be a little disgusting.
Anywho, getting back to the...
Oh, it fell out. Shit.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it was a piece of garlic. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Ha!
Oh, that got into my eyes.
You were belching on me earlier, so...
Oh.
We're a disgusting show.
Anywho.
We're probably the most disgusting show to be discussing political and media theory on the internet.
But it was completely media driven. In watching it last night, the interviews that I found most interesting were the ones that they did at Ground Zero with firefighters and policemen, be it still active or retired, servicemen. I didn't want to hear from a freaking college student. They were like 13. Wait. You got a 21-year-old.
You must say a 13-year-old is in college.
I know. You're going to have like a 21-year-old college student. Give them their perspective on something that happened 10 years ago when they were 11. They're just not going to have the same perspective as somebody that lived there.
Yeah.
And to me, it got overblown.
No.
Well, it did. Come on. I mean, I'm being serious here. It got overblown and it turned... It didn't. It could have gotten a lot worse.
Yeah.
But it had the makings of something that could have gone horribly, horribly wrong, and might still come back to bite us in the ass.
Oh yeah.
But it could have been handled with a bit more class.
What could have been handled? The coverage?
Not the coverage, but I think the ugly Americans. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm okay with, like, you know, a little bit of maybe like a solemn, you know, get together, but, you know, lighting fireworks on Pennsylvania Avenue and, you know, people climbing trees in front of the White House.
That, yeah.
You know, that was a bit much.
Or nice.
A serviceman climbing a light post out in front of Ground Zero and cracking open a bottle of champagne. It seemed a little much.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, the guy deserved to die. I think the best quote that I saw was actually from Mark Twain. He said, "You know what I'm talking about? Which one I'm talking about, right?"
Yeah.
About the obituary.
Yeah. The funny thing about that,
yeah.
That's not a Mark Twain
quote.
It isn't? No, it's a Clarence Darrow quote.
Okay, the Clarence Darrow.
There's a great. I'll link to this. Actually, I won't link to this because I'm going to tell the joke.
Do you know you're going to tell the quote?
Yeah. Well, no, you go ahead.
Well, I'm going to butcher the quote, so you might as well tell it.
It's basically, it's like I've never wished a man dead, but I've enjoyed reading some obituaries.
Yeah,
or something
I've enjoyed
like
reading the obituaries.
Yeah. And there's a great. It was somebody had written that and quoted it to Mark Twain.
Right.
And then the next line down was Clarence Darrow quoting, "I've never killed a man, but if I ever hear anybody fucking misquoting me to Mark Twain, I'm gonna kill some." Yeah, something along those lines. It was pretty funny. but no, and I'm with it. And you know, if you are a, you know, for the people that are directly affected. You know, people that died in the attacks.
Right. Families of survivors.
Families of survivors.
Or families of victims.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Or, yeah. And even if we want to be entirely honest, which, you know, if I can slip into George Carlin mode, this country isn't exactly good at. If we want to be entirely honest, even the soldiers have a little bit, have, I think, a little bit less of a beef. Because, you know, to me,
watch this, because you're gonna end up walking down a slippery slope.
Kind of how I want to phrase this.
I know.
Because you know,
you don't want to sound insensitive.
Well, yeah, I mean, and how I kind of got into trouble was, you know, my soon-to-be brother-in-law is over in Iraq right now.
Okay.
Okay.
That was a bad move on your part.
Well, no, and I think he understood what I was getting at.
Okay.
You know, he's a smart guy.
Right.
And, you know, and when he gets back, we're going to start our mobile buffet service. I've talked about this on the show before. I guess my point of view is that, you know, if you are pissed, be pissed for a good reason.
Right. Okay.
You know, if you're directly affected with the attacks, you know what? Have a beer on me.
Exactly. Go drink the champagne.
Exactly. Yeah. You go nuts.
You go nuts. Yeah, exactly.
I would not begrudge you that at all. You know, and. But anything after that fact, to me, there's almost, I'm not gonna say an ego reaction, because I think it's a little more complicated than that. But I would almost say, you know, there's still.
Thank you.
Trying to think of a great, good way to phrase this that doesn't make me sound like an ass.
Be a first.
And I might be an ass just in general, so, or whatever.
Need another person?
No, thank you.
To me, it's more the, if you're pissed at, like, okay, here's a good example. If you're pissed at, if all the people that said, okay, he's dead, now can I take, you know, now can I take more than 3 ounces of liquid on the airplane?
Okay,
now,
do now, I have to take now, my shoes off with this security?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a gripe for me, I'm sorry.
That is a legitimate gripe. But that, Osama bin Laden didn't make those laws.
No, he didn't.
Okay. You know, that's, I think, what bugs me about, because there's this whole idea, it's like, oh, if he'd never attacked, then we wouldn't have all these security procedures. It's like, well, okay, you know, that's in a sense correct, but, you know, it's almost like the, it's almost like saying, no, I'm not even going to make this comparison.
But it is, unfortunately, in the society that we're in, it's a cause and effect thing. You know, it might not be the right thing, but because of this, this is the way things have to be.
Yeah.
In its purest form. You know, we can say, yeah, it wasn't Osama bin Laden that makes me take my shoes off every time I go through security.
Mm-hmm.
It's the lawmakers that are making me do that. Yeah, but the end game, you know, the root of the cause was this.
Yeah.
When you get down to brass tacks, so.
What? When you're starting arguing root causes, you end up going down a rabbit hole.
Right. It's the Soviet's fault if you think about it.
Well, you can even go farther back than that. If you really wanted to try.
Right.
If the great documentary series, Connections.
Yeah.
Which was a show. God, that would have been like late 80s, early 90s. And it was a great show. I recommend it even now.
Okay.
And it was basically, let's take these two radically different ideas. Like, let's take, you know, ancient Roman culture.
Yeah.
And a simple example, you know, DUI policy in the U.S.
Okay.
We're going to find that thread.
Okay.
And connect them. Okay. It's a fascinating show.
Okay.
Okay. Like, it's amazing that you kind of, when you start looking at causes and effects and things like that, it's amazing kind of the tangled path that it takes. So, I don't know. Part part of me, you know, part of me is just my general curmudgeonliness, where I don't enjoy. I don't like people having
enjoyment.
You're not
curmudgeon at all.
I'm willing to admit this.
You're not how. I don't see that at all. You're the angriest person that I know. You know that?
I'm not angry.
You're the most curmudgeonly person.
That I will accept.
Grumpy.
And I take that from my father.
You are a 65-year-old man.
Yes, I am.
Retiree.
Yes.
Stuck in a 85-year-old's body.
I want a rascal. Is that so wrong?
That's no.
Okay, good.
You got the heart of an 85-year-old.
I come from a long line of curmudgeons, so... What can I say?
Enjoy your death at 40.
Hey, my family, as bitter as we are, we last a long ass time.
The hate.
Exactly. My grandfather made it to his 70s. My grandmother's in her 80s.
As we joke, I'm probably going to die before you.
Probably.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing.
I know.
My family doesn't make it out of 60s.
Both my grandparents are in their 80s.
I'm almost done. I'm almost at halfway.
The only one of my maternal or of my parental grandparents that died young.
Yeah.
Was my maternal grandfather, and he died in Korea, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
But you know, barring wars,
his death doesn't count.
But barring wars, I am a long-lived people.
Right.
So you get to put up with this for many, many years.
I'm halfway done. I only got about 30 more years.
Yeah,
left,
so you're
so
good.
Suck on that.
Yeah, you'll show me by dying first.
You're welcome.
That'll be my eulogy. He won. I gotta admit it.
I want you to put that on my headstone. He won.
He won. Nice.
And a high five.
Yes. Well, fuck, by then it'll probably be holographic, so probably good.
I'm just gonna stay. I want a hologram of me just standing over my grave, just with my hand up in the air for people to give me a high five.
No, and then your gravestone should just say, don't leave me hanging at that point.
Don't leave me hanging, bro.
Yeah.
And instead of a high five, it's a fist bump.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
Anyway.
So yeah, I'm very interested to see where this goes. What I really love,
because
I love nut jobs.
Oh God!
I love I love them.
It's getting nuttier. It got nuttier by the hour today.
This next couple weeks.
How it got nutty?
Oh, it's like.
How, and we both said this on the way over, how excited are we for The Daily Show and the Colbert Report?
Oh my God,
for the next few days.
Oh my God.
It's going to be absolutely fantastic television. My brain might explode tonight from laughter.
I can't even,
you got all these different types of crazies. Like,
I know
you got the double tap crazies, you got the death picture crazies, you got the burial crazies, you got the rogue helicopter that they had to bomb, that they had to blow up while they were there crazies.
Yeah.
Oh man. That's gonna be so good.
There's conspiracies within conspiracies.
Right. Right.
It's gonna be awesome.
Got the birthers coinciding the assassination with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for a man that loves conspiracy theories, it's gonna be awesome.
It's like Christmas story.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
Your brain's gonna explode. I'm honestly gonna be surprised you don't take a day off of work this week.
I do have 2 days off of work.
Yeah, but you don't have cable.
So I have the internet. I don't need cable.
Yeah, but you get the...
Okay, here's a good example, and then we'll wrap it up with this thing.
Okay.
We were talking earlier about, you know, where were you when?
Okay.
Such and such.
Yep.
This was a couple years ago. Don't remember exactly what year, but it's easily looked up. Every year... Early August, I go down to Indianapolis for Gen Con. Down there in the Indianapolis Convention Center.
Right.
The day, it was like, it's a Thursday through Sunday convention. And it was like the Thursday, or the Wednesday or the Thursday of that week was the week that Saddam Hussein's sons got killed.
Uday and Hussein.
Exactly.
Which I want to... As a sidebar, if I ever have sons, I'm rhyming their names. Not Uday and Kuse, but
yeah, I'm so you mean they go a different route.
Yeah, they are going to rhyme.
I like it. Well, if you go biblical, there's a lot of... If you go, like, Hebraic biblical...
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of rhyming potential there.
And it's my people, anyway. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Malachi Bergen.
Can't rhyme something with that.
Anything that ends in I.
Okay. I'm waiting.
Zephari. That's the thing.
That's terrible.
You just added
an I to...
Blame your people, then. Yeah. That's just what they do.
We're not great with the vowels. And the
you gospel. Were, it'd be Malachi. Because then you got Zechariah, Euphigenia. That's a real one.
I know.
And a missed Doubtfire reference.
I know, I was like...
Suck it. anyway, so it's at convention, and in the convention center, there's the information desk. And behind the information desk, there's like 7 TVs.
Okay.
And all of them were on, I think it was CNN.
Right.
It's one of the news channels.
Fox News.
And this is when, you know, right out the gate, when the Uday and Kuse died, they had the footage of the bodies.
Right.
So it was just seeing the footage of the dead bodies on like 7 TVs all at once, like that will stick with me forever. Because okay. It was kind of surreal.
So a little desensitizing too.
And a little desensitizing, especially when you're surrounded by gamers. So you got,
right.
you know.
That's a fake.
Well, no, it's more the overweight chicks in cat costumes. Oh, it's more the
cosplaying.
I would love you to go to one of these conventions just because it's such sensory overload.
I already went to Convergence with you.
Convergence is too decentralized.
Really?
You need to go to something with a proper dealer room.
Oh God. I don't think I can handle that.
You get a couple, you get 10, 12,000 people in a room together.
That Convergence was almost too much for me.
I know. That's why you gotta, God forbid you ever go to like Comic-Con.
I think I can handle Comic-Con better.
Really?
I think so.
It's just because you'd go to all the Twilight panels.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor Lautner is pretty hot.
Exactly. Yeah. Really.
Yeah. So, food, Blackberry, or not Blackberry, Blackbird.
The food at Blackbird was very good. I enjoyed my sandwich. I wanted more chopped liver on mine, but it's probably a good thing because...
You always bitch about that, though. Like, every time you get something with chopped liver, you always say there's not enough.
It's because it's not my grandma's. And I think that, honestly, when it gets down to it, that's really what I'm looking for, is that I'm looking, you know, my grandmother's been dead. Good God.
15 years?
20 years.
No.
Grandma Bergen's been dead 20 years.
I'm thinking your grandfather.
No.
My bad.
No.
Okay, sorry.
That'd be 10 years.
Okay.
But my grandma Bergen's been dead 20 years. And I literally have not found a happy medium. I mean, the closest thing to it was at Fishman's, and they're closed. So this was a suitable replacement.
Okay.
I wanted more on the sandwich. The pastrami was awesome. Peppery. Good amount of fat to meat ratio. Sliced thin. Sliced really good. I'm good. Sliced thin. Very, very tasty. The fries were good when they stayed hot. I enjoyed that thoroughly. I will probably order something different the next time I'm here just to change it up.
Yeah, they do have something on here called the Longhorn, which I'm very excited about.
And they do a banh mi, which I've heard rave reviews about.
Yes.
Also, the walleye dumplings sound awesome, because I love dumplings.
Really? You don't strike me as much of a dandelion pesto guy.
I know, but I love dumplings. I love dumplings.
Still, the dandelion pesto just kind of throws me off a little bit.
I know. But overall, it was very good. I see where you're going with the lamb nachos thing. It should have been on a more platter-esque rather than plate.
More room!
Well, platter versus plate.
Yeah.
You know, just more room. You could have, you know, spread out the toppings a little bit.
Especially a nice place like this. This is a somewhat classy place.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know...
So we walked in the door.
It's not, well, true. But I mean, it's not fancy. It's not, you know, I don't feel it's casual, but it's well done. I mean, it's put together in a way. And so I feel more guilty making a mess. So don't put me in a position where I have to make a mess to enjoy your food.
I agree. It's incredibly comfortable.
Yes.
You know, it's loud, but it's not overly loud. It's quaint, but not like bed and breakfast quaint.
Yeah. I put it in the same realm as a Hazel's or any of these kind of new cafe kind of places.
I agree.
What's the French place in uptown?
French Meadow.
Not French Meadow. Where we had snails.
Oh, God. Barbette.
Barbette. Yeah, it's similar to that. Okay. You know, it's very much in that kind of realm. I feel guilty with nachos.
Yeah.
Nachos are a messy food. I don't care if it's truffles and caviar over, you know, endangered, you know, antelope meat. That
sounds
is a messy food. I'm sure it is. But, you know, that's a messy food.
Yeah.
Give me room to play.
I gotta have room to stretch.
Exactly. My gnocchi, I liked it more and more as I had more. That first couple bits where I wasn't quite expecting the smokiness were a little off-putting, and it kind of concerned me a little bit. But the more I had it, the more I had that really nice, tender bacon.
Peas.
The peas, oh, God.
The peas make the world go round.
You put peas in cream, I don't care if you're punching me in the sternum while I eat, I will enjoy it. Okay.
Challenge accepted.
You know, my made a little difficult to eat, to be honest, but you know, I'll soldier through. You know, I love carbonara. I was going to post this, but I got distracted and never did. I leveled up as a chef. And then the fact that I successfully made an Alfredo without burning it.
Good for you.
This was a couple weeks ago. So I'm excited to try a proper carbonara.
That's a tricky one.
It is tricky.
That's a timing thing.
I know. I've burnt just about every attempt I've done, but I think I've gotten...
I make a cheater one where but actually it's more of a true one where it actually uses the heat off of the noodles to cook the sauce.
Yeah.
So...
But regardless, the gnocchi, very good. The cream was good, and like I said, it enhanced the flavors of the mushrooms and the gnocchi. The gnocchi was cooked perfectly. The texture, it was what I wish scallops would be.
Okay.
You know, where it's just that, just buttery smooth the whole way.
Right, no rubberiness.
There's no rubberiness at all.
Now, if a scallop is cooked properly, then it should be buttery all the way through.
True. But, you know, whatever. I've never had one where it's been that well cooked.
I know. I probably can count the amount of times that I've had it done properly on one hand.
Yeah. So I really dug it. There is still a lot I want to try. Mentioned that Longhorn, which is a beef brisket sandwich with a roasted tomato, caramelized onion, a horseradish mayonnaise with provolone on it.
You can't go bad. There's nothing bad on that sandwich.
Wow. I want that.
The other thing is that I wanted... This has the potential to be an all appetizers place.
Yes.
Because they've got a fantastic appetizers list. I mean, we picked a happy medium, but there are plenty of things on that menu we could have done and been, you know, very, very happy with.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a burnt sugar pork.
Right.
Which sounds delicious.
Beef carpaccio, that's one of my top 10 favorite foods in the world.
Yeah. We've got a couple things I wouldn't mind trying. They've got a grilled endive. With pepitas, whatever the fuck that is.
Pepitas are... Oh, never mind.
Sorry.
Well...
But it's got a coriander vinaigrette and orange creme fraiche with queso fresco. So, like, that sounds delicious.
Yep.
Carne asada. I'm down for that whenever.
Yeah. They do a grilled lamb sausage.
Where's that? Where
salad,
I didn't see that.
Beans and weenies.
Oh, the beans and weenies. Oh, okay.
That would be good. Duck rolls, whatever the hell that is, sounds fantastic.
Probably like a spring roll.
Oh man, sign me up.
They do a couple different ducks here, which I like, and I want to try more, but it's so damn pricey.
A walleye and crawfish pot sticker.
Oh yeah, that could be pretty wicked too.
Braised pork empanada.
So yeah, I would recommend this place. I mean, if I lived closer,
I did. Yeah, way to go.
I didn't know. Sorry. But if I lived closer, I'd totally come here more often. You know, this is one of those where it's a great entertaining place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Parents coming into town.
Yep.
Dates. Even business meetings, you know, to a degree. I mean, you know, it has to be the right kind of business, I would say.
Yep.
But, you know, I wouldn't necessarily want to meet, like, a law client here.
No, but you could do... It's good for...
It's casual.
It's casual. It's comfy.
Exactly. They got a decent wine list.
Yep.
An okay beer list. They've got a couple good choices for beer.
For the size,
yeah.
You know, for not being... The beer isn't the highlight here.
No.
And what they have on the beer menu highlights what they are, you know, what their menu is.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting so that there are certain brands of beer that you just kind of expect anymore.
Yeah.
You know, obviously your Surly's, any place local is going to have Surly.
Right.
You know, but Fulton, I'm seeing a lot of.
Furthermore, Lithbridge.
Lithbridge, that's what I was
saying. Pretty much any of the ones we had, with the exception of Guinness, is on there.
Yeah.
But.
So, you know, there's becoming kind of the standard roster of good beers that places are hitting on. Which is good to see. I mean, I don't have a problem with any of those beers, other than the Surly, but we've talked about
that. They call it niche regional.
Are all those regional? I know Lithbridge is. Is Fulton?
I believe so.
Is it? Okay. For some reason, I thought they were out of California, but maybe I'm thinking something else. But yeah, I would totally recommend this place. I mean, it's a good vibe. It's very much a Minnesota kind of food place. Like, this is what I've come to expect.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, which sounds worse than I mean it to.
No, but it's got tastes that are familiar to this area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a little bit. You know, I'm still continually surprised at the places that will do Thai or Southeast Asian. I mean, you got the banh mi, which we talked about.
But it's honestly worked its way into the food lexicon of Minneapolis St. Paul.
Absolutely. I mean, as I was saying, the banh mi. They got spicy peanut noodles here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the kind of the fun mix of the Minnesota and the Asian, you know, with the walleye dumplings and the walleye and crawfish pot stickers and stuff like that. So,
it's an interesting mix, and it will be a fun place to eat your way around the menu.
Yeah.
So, two thumbs up for me.
Very good.
Very good.
Before we wrap up, I do want to do a couple of quick things.
Right.
One.
Plug next week's show.
Plug next week's show. Next week we will have some people from the Minnesota Craft Beer Week. I say that because we're not really certain who's going to show up yet. There's some confusion as to the schedule. So
Why
I don't want to...
showing?
What? Somebody's showing up. That they have assured me. But... We're not sure who yet, exactly.
Because I don't put on pants for just anybody.
Well, for these people, you should, regardless of who shows up.
Fine.
But we'll be talking about Minnesota Craft Beer Week, which is coming up very shortly here. It's May 13th through the 22nd, I think, is the dates. Just do MN Craft Beer Week for all the details on that. But we'll have them on next week. Also, I have a bit of homework for people. We're looking for a place in the Twin Cities that still serves good French onion soup.
Yes. It's the great French onion quest of 2011.
Exactly. I need some before it gets too warm.
And we only got a week left.
We only got maybe a week. So email me, evan@fancymissgangsters.com, with your places for...
Outstanding.
The best French onion soup you can find.
Right.
And I will give you credit on the show if I get a chance to try this place out. Preferably in the downtown area so I can hit it up for lunch. But anyway, as always, we want to thank our sponsor, HopChart.com. Very, very happy to be involved with Andrew and all the great stuff he's doing there. If you are a beer fan, make sure you guys are out there, you know, rating your beers and marking it down and things like that, you know, it's always appreciated, you know, and you can get your friends, you can do all that stuff. It's cool. It's like I said, it's a Foursquare for beer. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, we're on Foursquare. Hey,
yes, follow us.
Well-Fed Guide to Life. Just do a search for us there. We are on Twitter. Twitter.com/WellFedGuideFPG. We're also on Facebook, Well-Fed Guide to Life. Trying to think what else. We do have Facebook Gangsters now has an email newsletter, which we're always happy when you sign up for. All the details for that are on our website, fancybizgangsters.com. And am I forgetting anything?
Not a thing.
All right, very good. So, on behalf of my good friend Dave, I do want to thank you once again for listening. And we'll see you next week. Mm-hmm.